Hare Krishna. Reading from my glorious master, Manila, 1972. Drinking hot honeyed milk. Prabhupada began to drink the hot milk Sudama Vipra Swami had brought. He dipped his spoon into a jar of honey and pulled it out half full. Then he dipped the honey-laden spoon into the milk. When he pulled it out, milk floated above the thick layer of honey still on the spoon. Prabhupada sipped the milk off the top of the honey. He repeated this process several times until the milk had cooled. My comment. Seeing Prabhupada enjoy hot milk in this unique fashion brought us great happiness. Hong Kong mangoes. Prabhupada then ate a long yellow mango. These are not as good as the mangoes you gave me in Hong Kong, Prabhupada said to me as his eyes twinkled. Those mangoes also came from the Philippines, I replied. A mountain surrounded by a lake. Vijayadwaj, an American devotee serving in the Philippines, cooked for Prabhupada both morning and noon. Each morning, Vijayadwaj followed Prabhupada's recipe for halava, one part semolina, two parts water, one part sugar, and one part ghee. The halava looked like a small mountain floating in ghee. Yet Prabhupada appreciated Vijayadwaj's cooking, especially his halava, commenting, "The quality is sufficient." Once, however, Vijayadwaj hoped to create a large quantity of remnants by loading up Prabhupada's lunch plate with prasad. Prabhupada commented, "When my plate is so full, I lose my appetite." My comment, to please the Lord and his devotee is the pleasure of a devotee. Even a grain of selfishness in our attempts spoils the preparation. Tolerance, tolerance, tolerance. Prabhupada's suite in the Hotel Intercontinental was luxurious. A clay pot with a spigot at the bottom held fresh water. Prabhupada drank from the pot on the first day because it kept the water cool. Quote, just like in India. But when the water was not changed the second day, Prabhupada would not drink, although he neither complained nor mentioned the oversight. My comment. In one circumstance, Prabhupada demanded hot milk, and another he tolerated unchanged water. How does a teacher know when to demand and when to tolerate? An expert teacher knows which of his own needs are essential and also knows when a response is required for the advancement of his student. A lecture that filled me with fear. I am not a carpenter, but I was asked to construct a book stand for Prabhupada. He would use the stand to hold his Bhagavad Gita while he gave the evening lecture. I set to work with borrowed tools, and I completed it just before Prabhupada's class. It had a plywood base, which tucked under his Vyasasan cushion. Four wooden posts extended upward to support the angled wood stand on which the book rested. During his first lecture, Prabhupada strongly preached. As he spoke, he referred again and again to his Bhagavad Gita. At times, he held the stand as he rocked back and forth in the rhythm of his lecture. At other times, he pushed forward on the book stand while making his points. As soon as Prabhupada began, I noticed strain on the book stand with a base at the posts. As Prabhupada rocked back and forth, the posts also began to rock back and forth. I saw a glimmer of silver, the nails above the base. I became afraid. What if it collapses? What if Prabhupada pushes this against the stand and the posts come off? I was sweating. Prayers spontaneously erupted from my heart. I imagined Prabhupada's enthusiastic preaching splitting the stand in two. Envisioning the stand's collapse, I heard Prabhupada's voice in my mind, demanding, "Who has done this? Who has built this?" I closed my eyes only to open them and focus again on the widening gap between the base and the posts. The metal nails glinted in the temple lights. Glinting in the temple lights seemed to sparkle a promise of my doom. The lecture was eternal. I heard none of it. Sudama Vipraswami, who was sitting next to me during my ordeal, commented, "Looks like Prabhupada's lecture really hit you." My comment: Krishna pushed me to the limit. Directly after the lecture, I pounded tens of additional nails into the stand and made it strong enough to withstand the United States Marines. What did I learn? Better to be safe than sorry. Get things built, or at least checked by experts. When planning for an event, always consider what could possibly go wrong and be ready for it. Be especially careful when serving your spiritual master and exalted Vaishnavas. When a mistake is made, correct it as quickly as possible. Success and failure are ultimately in Krishna's hands. Now there's a photo of me putting that book stand up, included in the book, Krishna Willing. I can't see it right now, and I don't want to spend time just flipping the pages, but it's there. That was intense. I'll have to say that it was intense. Balakrishna, Balaram, and Ganesh. Jagatrini had grown attached to her Ladu Gopal deity, which we began to call Balakrishna. He was the deity to whom Prabhupada had offered his respects in the dollhouse in Hong Kong. Since then, Jagatrini had added a slightly larger Ladu Gopal deity as Balaram. He was silver in color. And a tiny one-inch Ganesh deity. She had the three deities with her when we saw Prabhupada in Manila. When Jagatrini showed Prabhupada the group of deities, Prabhupada encouraged her. "These are your deities? Oh, they are very beautiful." He turned to me. "Why Ganesh?" I referred to the Nectar of Devotion's recommendation that devotees worship Ganesh to remove obstacles in their worship of Krishna. Prabhupada looked at me for a moment and said no more. My comment. Prabhupada knew we needed encouragement and companionship in Hong Kong. He always offered encouragement, even to the point of allowing Jagatrini the companionship of personal deities. Despite the informality of her worship, and despite the worship of Ganesh and his inclusion with Krishna and Balaram. Okay, we'll end here. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Now I'll go look at that photo again of the of Prabhupada's. I'm sitting on the Vyasasan and the book stand. And I think myself putting it in place. Hare Krishna. Thank you.